Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Konnichiwa, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Jimmy Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Pete Donaldson.
It's the morning, Marcus. It's a higher Gesheimer. You know that.
Bonjour. How's that, eh?
Ooh.
That better?
I don't know what you're saying.
No, you don't, do you?
No.
We spent quite a large part of last night having Pete send Japanese phrases down to us in the form of voice messages on the WhatsApp group.
Mm. Yeah, so I was enjoying it very much.
You didn't explain what any of them meant, though, so for me, I still feel like I'm in the dark.
I was singing Football's Coming Home.
Oh, were you? What, in Japanese?
Yeah.
That's excellent. Very good.
There we
assume that he was saying
it could have been anything, Mark.
It could have been anything. Oh, that was sad.
Oh, yeah. Petey.
In the end, wasn't it?
Oh, no, eh? What a valiant effort. From Japan, but the Belgians came through. It was an incredible second half.
Yes.
This World Cup, yeah. Jim, it never ceases to amaze.
I mean, the thing about this game was the first half was actually good. It was an entertaining
0-0
up to that point. And you think, oh, what's going to come? And then just two two really quick, really slick goals. I'm so impressed with Kagawa's little drag backs and his little sort of
Wasn't he brilliant?
He was almost like he was just holding up the ball. He was like a front man.
Everything he did was almost as if to say, "I've got one more big move in me."
Yeah. But the second half, there were times where Japan, for about a 20-minute period, they were playing like how Spain think they play. Yes. How Spain used to play.
Well put.
They look really
sort of skillful and fluid, and they exploited the room on the flanks and stuff. And Martin has a side set up all wrong.
I need you guys to all listen and be honest here. Who in this room, and let's not forget cameraman Sam's got access to the Twitter as well.
Right.
Who in the room tweeted from the Ramble account, and I quote, "Is it compatible to have a golden generation that uses Nasser Chadli from the bench when he came on?"
Well, I was manning Twitter yesterday, and I didn't tweet that one. So
I did not tweet that one either.
Well, we know it wasn't Sam because it was spelt all right. So
who was it then?
It was me. Yeah,
oh,
it was me. Yeah.
Big Lukey Moore.
Probably about 10 minutes before he scored the winner.
So that's on you. This whole thing's on you.
Is it fair to say my predictions have been hit and miss? Yeah.
Out of all of that actual move though, I mean, he had the least to do in many ways,
but it was a lung buster to get there, Pete.
Run towards the goal and finish it.
It was a lung buster.
Very underwhelming goalkeeper.
Worst goalkeeper in the tournament.
so many punches, and there was a point where he flapped at one header that he should probably have caught, but then that gave him the opportunity to make a brilliant save that he pushed over the bar. But it's sort of like, are you just enjoying being able to have a little jump around?
He's sort of less a goalkeeper, more a sort of personification of the uncertainty principle.
Yeah,
ex-Dundee.
Yeah, well, there you go. And I've got a biased opinion of Japanese goalkeepers because Portsmouth once signed Yoshi Kawaguchi, who was one of the worst goalkeepers I've ever seen. And within about 2 days of him signing, Portsmouth was selling like Kawaguchi sunglasses in the club shop and all that kind of stuff. But he was dreadful. So I do understand that I've maybe perhaps got a little bit of a biased view. But for me, nothing he did looked like he really planned it, which for a goalkeeper is actually quite poor. Well,
His tips over the bar look really unconventional.
Yeah.
That Vertonghen goal.
Yeah.
That can't go in, can it?
No, it can't. Vertonghen, like, it looked really deliberate, didn't it, on the replays? Vertonghen said after the game he didn't mean it.
I like that you said.
Yeah, I like that.
It doesn't make it less of a goal.
Oh, absolutely not.
I thought Courtois had a bad game.
He nearly dug the ball
into his own net. It went through his legs, and also I
maybe
thought
he's too tall.
I thought he was at fault for the first goal a little bit. I think he could have. I know he was kind of surprised at the poor defending, but I think
that was an odd goal, Pete.
It was.
Because it looked like he had missed his opportunity.
I was angry at that.
Yeah, I bet you were. And then he shot, and it was almost like Courtois was caught by surprise the same way we all were.
It was a bit slow-mo.
Maybe Thibaut looked at the other keeper and thought, pressure's off me here.
Yeah. This'll be fine.
I could do what I want. Yeah, the Haraguchi goal, when Vertonghen, again, I think he should have dealt with that, really. He'd be a bit disappointed with himself. And the Haraguchi had the chance to shoot, and he stopped to shoot. I was like,
pull the trigger.
Fair. Yeah, fine.
Well, what we saw from like Mexico and South Korea, where they were in a position to shoot, and they didn't. That was the annoying thing. But Japan, they had a couple of cracks at times. I thought it was really good. But Genki Haraguchi, speaking about the Japanese language, Genki means healthy. So healthy Haraguchi.
Very nice.
And when you say you're all right in Japanese, you sort of say Genki desu ka? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you healthy?
Yeah.
So you can say, yes, I am healthy. I'm healthy Haraguchi.
And you can say that I'm not playing all the way home to Japan.
Yes,
because they've got no more games.
They're going home.
I thought when they went 2-0 in the second half, I said to my wife, I said, look, we're going to definitely get at least extra time here because I could see Belgium sort of pushing it, turning the screw, and that Vertonghen goal was probably a lot more sort of symbolic than perhaps just getting a goal back, because
absolutely,
it was almost like, right, now that's out of the way,
yes,
we can crack on here. Obviously he didn't mean it, but it went in. The keeper then looked even more suspect, and I think they got a lot of confidence from that. And I was really impressed with Japan defensively up until they conceded that goal. After that, it was like night and day. Like, Yoshida was fantastic up until that point. The defending was very, very good, and then they just lost their confidence.
It was just bringing on. I mean, Fellaini is just, if you see that
he's a wrecking ball.
That's what he's there for.
I know he's a plan B, but my word, like,
it is effective, isn't it?
It is very effective. It always works. The scene was so typically Mourinho, wasn't it? Changes,
don't
very
say that name.
Changes,
over the World Cup.
I didn't think it was foolish to chase a third at that corner for Japan, because Belgium were in the ascendancy. I think even if they'd had 5 more minutes injury time, I think Belgium would have scored anyway, even quite apart from the breakaway anyway. So I think Japan were right to try and get it in the net. But
I think so as well. I would agree with that, purely because they look dead on their feet. Mm. And I think if you... A corner is essentially an opportunity to score.
Yeah, I don't think they should have played it short. And imagine if they just knocked it short and held it in the corner and played for extra time. Everyone would go, well, why on earth did you not put it in the box?
Did you see them in the final group game? They made some decisions that in that true. Group game, yeah, let's be fair.
Yeah, they managed their game at that point. They had their game management bit and everybody hated them
absolutely.
For it.
So. Yeah, it was heartbreaking seeing them just so broken on the floor.
Well, it was more just like, you know, it would have been a hell of a match. It would have been an absolute walkover for Brazil. But Brazil's got a huge Japanese population.
Right,
it would have been such a good kind of situation for them. So, I blame that octopus they ate.
Oh, what was that?
Yeah. I hate animals that predict things. There was
apart from the London fly, which you like.
The England fly.
I love that.
I hate animals that predict things. It's not the animals. You can't hate the animals. It's the owners that are making the animals do stupid things.
Marcus, you let him hate what he wants.
Yeah. No, I won't, Jim, because...
Don't forget, Pete's life, as he said yesterday, is essentially like a real-life Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where the animals probably speak and everything.
Yeah. Go on, Peter, then. Paul Paul the octopus. It was an octopus. It wasn't
it was
Paul.
Rabiot, a Hokkaido octopus that this farmer, well, this fish farmer, had, and he predicted all of the results of the Japan games in the group stages. But they ate him before this match and got another one.
Oh right,
so that's a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah, but why does that affect it?
Well, if he's the good luck charm that got him out of the groups.
Oh, so you're all right for a good luck charm.
I don't like animals that predict things, but I don't mind them being good luck charm.
Octopus is delicious, though.
Yeah.
I think that's what
they're very intelligent octopi, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not when they're being chopped up.
Yeah. I was going to say. Should have seen that coming. Yeah.
Indeed, he should.
A predicting octopus.
What a breakaway from Belgium for that third goal.
It was devastating.
We've got to give a bit of love to that. Yeah, I mean,
it
my
was
goodness.
Enough to strike fear in the heart of all who saw it.
It was a bit like the France Kylian Mbappe second goal. Yeah, it wasn't too dissimilar, and the dummy from Lukaku, who perhaps would be disappointed that he hadn't scored up until then.
Well, Yoshida got one of the tackles of the tournament in
with
him, didn't
great.
He? That was brilliant.
Was it better than the step over that Marcus Rashford did?
When Lingard gave him a shot.
That's someone should play him that and go, that's how you do a step over.
Well, no, you mean a dummy.
Yeah, a dummy, sorry.
Yeah, because Rashford was fuming, wasn't he? Yeah. but it was a wonderful goal. You could see what was happening as soon as they picked it up and they drove forward. The only thing for Japan
honest, if you're backtracking and there's like four or five Belgians running at you, who are you going to concentrate on? Nasser Chadli?
Leave Chadli.
Let him do his own thing.
That's fine.
But it was the 94th minute. They were probably just legging it back as fast as they could.
But I understand that people say, oh, well, had they not shown... I mean, they could have been a tiny bit more conservative when taking the corner. But... when Belgium break at that kind of pace and so on, you can't.
I think it's too critical. I think because I don't know if you saw pictures of De Bruyne. He looked hot.
Yeah,
he looked like a man who was about to overhit. There's some sort of pressure valve somewhere on his body that needs to be released. Yet he was still able to play that inch perfect weighted pass.
He drove
in the 93rd or 94th minute. While at full pace.
It was still very warm there, wasn't
it's
it?
Just
even
quite,
in the evening.
It was. It's just quality from him.
We have not given Roberto Martinez any credit for those two substitutions.
No. Certainly not on Twitter.
Do we give him credit? I mean, obviously, to find themselves 2-0 down. Now, let's be honest. If any of us were managing that Belgium team and they went 2-0 down, you'd look at the bench and go, Fellaini, come on, son.
Go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course you would.
What is the average height of the Japanese? Let's go with Fellaini. Martinez said, today is not a day to talk about systems.
When is the designated systems day to talk about, Roberto?
And the thing is, it is a question of systems, Roberto.
That sounds like management talk, Roberto.
when he brings players on and they both score, of course he needs to have credit for that. And I've been very critical of Martinez. I don't particularly rate him as a coach or a tactician and whatever. But they won the game and his two substitutions scored, and he deserves credit for that. However, as far as I saw, and I'm not a tactical expert, but as far as I saw, it didn't change anything. It didn't change the system. He brought on a player.
But Fellaini naturally changes it, though.
Mm. True, yeah, because Fellaini can only play in one type of way, I suppose. Mm. So I suppose, maybe you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, and people just start putting more crosses in the box, which the Japanese just couldn't deal with.
Yeah. Maybe they did change the system, I just didn't see it. Who knows? But anyway, yes, he deserves credit for that. They were 2-0 down with, 40 minutes left or something, and they won 3-2 within normal time. So, of course, and that's going to be a huge boost for them. And the other thing that Martinez did say after the game, Pete, I don't know if you saw it, is he said, it's not really a time to be talking about what we could have done better and what's good and what's bad. Knockout football is about getting through to the next round, and we've done that. And they did that in such confidence-boosting fashion that I have a lot of belief going into that Brazil game now. And I know Brazil have looked sort of boringly efficient, and we'll come on to talk about them in a while, I'm sure. But they don't look like a team who can't be got at, despite their defensive record being so good. Belgium have definitely got players to hurt them. So that'll give them a big boost going into that game.
I find it fascinating, actually, that sort of Belgium-Brazil game. Brazil will be favourites. But you're right, Luke. Brazil have not really come up against the side with Belgium's attacking prowess.
No.
And for Belgium, well, I would encourage Martinez to have an ounce of a system for that game.
Yeah, very much so. Do you think, you know, Belgium have benefited from the fact that they've been hotly tipped for such a long time, people don't really bother to do it now? They used to be considered, you know, the sort of hipster football fans team of choice. But now, they've been around for so long that a bit of that pressure has maybe gone. Mm-hmm. And I think they look a little bit better for it, despite obviously going 2-0 down yesterday. They look a bit more like they feel like they belong at the top table.
Yeah.
But then Belgium are now 11-2 third favourites with Bet365 to win the tourney. £10 return, £65 including stake, should the Red Devils do it.
I forget they're called the Red Devils.
Yeah, there was a guy in the crowd with a big Red Devil mask on. The first
person... sure that wasn't Satan?
yeah, it might have been. The first person ever to predict Belgium as dark horses, I don't know if you guys remember this, I think I've told you before, was done by accident on live TV, and it was by Mark Lawrence. And I told you this story.
I've heard this story.
So in Euro 2000, it was Euro 2000, wasn't it, Marcus, where Netherlands and Belgium co-hosted. Yeah. And there was, I've not been able to find it online, but my memory, if it serves me correct, it went something like this. At the end of the first BBC show of Euro 2000, whoever was presenting, might have even been Gary Lineker, threw back to the pundits and said, "And who is your tip for the tournament?" And it became clear quite quickly that Mark Lawrenson hadn't actually thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't know he was going to be asked a question.
Yeah.
So he just went, "Belgium." And then the presenter literally went, "Belgium? Belgium?" And Mark Lawrenson went, "Horse nation. They're the horse nation."
Yeah.
That was it. And then it just cut. So Mark Lawrenson was the first man to tip up Belgium as dark horses before they were ever any good. And he did it by accident.
Once again, ahead of his time.
Yeah. Indeed.
He's like an animal predicting the future, isn't he?
Yeah, in a way he is. Yeah. Exactly that.
Oh, dear. Well, hopefully he'll be eaten before the next round, Peter.
this World Cup has been weird. You never know.
Let's talk about Brazil and Mexico after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Danny Welbeck, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. Brazil beat Mexico 2-0 Professional, boring game.
No place for it at this World Cup.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people, have been concerned
with Rafa Marquez starting in midfield against Brazil.
Well, I think that was a concern for many of us. There's a definite majority there. But with regards to the smaller teams beating the bigger teams, we like to see that. But then you get some people going, yeah, but actually, if you look at the latter stages of the tournament, you want to see some of the big names and so on and so forth. Well, at least those people have Belgium versus Brazil in the quarterfinal, which is a tasty one. No matter how you look at it, Uruguay as well. Well, exactly. Well, that half the draw, really.
I don't go in for all that chat about, oh yeah, the World Cup, you want to see the best players in the latter stage. I mean,
Sweden v Russia semi-final, are you having that?
Well, the teams who deserve to be there.
Exactly,
they've fought their way there.
I'm having it. I'd rather England.
There's a sort of elitist type snobbery, I think, that goes on.
Yeah,
where you say, oh, you want the semi-finals to be Brazil, Germany, France, and Italy or whatever.
Yeah,
and you've seen those matches.
I think actually it freshens it up. I don't think it detracts from if Russia go on to win the World Cup or Croatia or someone who hasn't won it before, it doesn't make it less of an achievement because other teams were knocked out. I mean, Russia have knocked out Spain.
Yeah,
I mean, Croatia will, if they win, go on to knock out someone else good. So people are there on merit, and I think we should be fair on that. I don't think because Germany came bottom of their group, it makes the World Cup any worse. In my opinion, it makes it fucking hilarious.
I've not heard many people sort of express those opinions. I'm exhausted by this World Cup. It just gets better and better and better.
Uh-huh. No, I agree completely.
I saw someone tweet the other day, and I can't remember who it was, and they said, for me, I think one or two too many big teams have gone out for it to be as good.
You will always find contrary dickheads, won't you?
Yeah. But I think as well that with the World Cup, there's never been a massively surprising winner like there has at the European Championships before.
Not.
And if we get one this time round, which we could, I only think it's good for the tournament.
Oh, of course
it is. And if at Croatia, who are capable of winning the tournament, it would be a slight surprise.
Yeah.
But it would be a huge surprise. Croatia won the World Cup, it would be amazing.
Especially based on how they played against Denmark.
If Russia won it, it would be quite the turnaround.
It's a great thing when a new country wins it. I mean, when Spain won it, everyone was delighted that there's a new winner because it does sometimes feel like there's only a set amount of countries that are going to be.
And that's quite a new country anyway.
Without trying to put a dampener on it, but I think it's part of my duty to remind you guys that this might actually be the final brilliant World Cup.
Yeah, well, because it's becoming so massive.
48. Well, no, Qatar's. It. It's Qatar's. Not
no, but yet. it's going to be in November, in the middle of the season, so a different feel.
Yeah,
and 2026 is going to be 48 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not naysaying or because
no, you make a good point.
I think there's a chance that we might not see anything of this like again.
Not for a while. Certainly not for a while. It could be that the 48 teams is rubbish and they drop it back down. But that
then we'll be like 50.
They rarely sort of reverse that. But you're right, that's a fair point. I look at Brazil and wonder if they're the only sort of consistent presence in this absolute whirlwind that's going on everywhere else. And that makes me think they might just sort of like just win it at a canter. Well, they might just stroll to it. Because that's what they're doing
now. They'll have to beat Belgium and then Uruguay or France.
Yeah, I think they've got enough to get past Belgium. Because, Brazil are underrated as a defensive force as well.
Definitely.
They only conceded one goal.
Mm.
That was from a set piece.
Which was a foul,
very
wasn't
effective
it?
On those
you look
as well.
At the amount of goals they've conceded under Cheek. It's something. It's like five or something in total. Mm.
I think, in this match, they showed they could be got at. I'm surprised Danilo didn't come on. I know he's been injured, but like the mobility of Mexico really caused a lot of trouble at right back. They just didn't know what they were doing. They kept swapping wings.
They had to keep targeting Fagner at right back.
Fagner.
because that was a bit of a mismatch, but they weren't able to do it because Brazil just have top quality everywhere else. But what did you guys make of Neymar and his performance?
Go on, John. I really want to love Neymar.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? I want to like him, but he makes it so difficult because that thing where he was stamped on. Yeah, the Mexican player did tread on his foot, but
stamped.
There is simply exactly. It's even got into my head.
Yeah.
The way he rolled around there is simply. There's no way anything can hurt that much on a football pitch without a limb hanging off.
The problem is though, Jim, he's been kicked around the park constantly, and the only way. So the referee or VAR is going to look at that again as if he turns on the histrionics.
That's maybe
if,
fair.
If he just stands there and goes and points at his foot and goes, can you get your foot off my foot? You know, you're not showing sorry, mate, that was a complete and utter accident and not at all what I was calculating to do.
In principle, though, that is true.
But that was incredible.
But the problem is he then crosses over into becoming the boy that cries wolf and everyone thinks
off.
The criticism I would level at him, and someone pointed out on the BBC last night that he got felled, as in knocked to the ground, or he chose to go to the ground 8 times in the game yesterday, and two of those were actually for bookable offences, so robust challenges. So it wasn't actually that bad across 90 minutes. But the thing that really annoyed me about it, I love watching Neymar. He's such a gifted player, and like you said, Jim, I agree. I'd love to love him, but that stamp, which wasn't a stamp, it was a sort of thing that happened. Sort of thing that happens at every level of football in a penalty area at a corner, five, six times a game to everyone, right? Let's get that in perspective. He was on the ground for 4.5 minutes.
I mean, that's just madness.
Four and a half.
When he was getting treatment, the way he was lying back, and I remember thinking, was he actually hurt? And then they show you the replay, and you go, you are simply acting.
And what you're doing...
That is maybe all you're doing.
Maybe I didn't realise it was 4.5 minutes, because when he started doing his play acting, I went to the kitchen and made a coffee.
Yeah, nothing had probably happened.
You made a three-course meal.
There is a serious point at this, rather than the fact that it's just annoying, and maybe we're just being old British men getting annoyed by things that other people do. But really, if Neymar gets into a situation where he genuinely badly hurts himself, say Aaron Ramsey's himself, he breaks his leg in a really bad way, is the physio really going to be running over at 100 mile an hour, or is he going to be asked Neymar again?
Is
the referee going to stop the game instantly to stop him getting further hurt? Not necessarily, because it's Neymar and he's the boy that cried wolf. He has to be careful.
Look at what happened in his last World Cup. Look at what happened with his back.
It was a serious injury.
It was a really serious injury.
He should then know what isn't a serious injury.
I've no problem with the player really going down a little bit easier, trying to get the ref's attention, and moaning at the ref saying, come on, like he did. Yeah. That was just, it's just pathetic.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Well, the whole Don Mexico team just focused on Neymar, which led to Willian getting a bit of space.
Willian was great. Also, Firmino coming on was interesting. Like, he's been a lot more effective than Gabriel Jesus. But it's worth pointing out there were points where Jesus was effectively playing left back when necessary, just because actually their defensive organisation from all over the pitch is really, really good. But I think Firmino will give them an extra dimension if they start with him and make them probably a bit more fluent. But Neymar's first goal, the build up from himself to put Willian through. It's absolutely superb. What a brilliant bit of play.
A goal and an assist. There's no question that he
won
the game.
I think the assist was a shot, right?
Oh, probably, yeah. It was, yeah. It was palmed over, wasn't it? 16-1 with Bet365 Neymar to be top scorer at this World Cup. He's got two goals currently. £10 will return £170, including stake. I would start with Firmino personally. I think he gives you more. But I mean,
I'm not sure. I think I quite like him as an impact sub, actually. I think Jesus actually put in a real big shift, as he has to. But Brazil's quality came through, Peter.
I felt sorry for Mexico, because they didn't leave anything in the dressing room. They ran and ran and ran in that heat as well. They were so busy, but quality will doubt.
I think the most realistic way they had of getting through that game would have been, as you say, Pete, just running their nuts off, maybe getting a goal, and then hopefully
making some better decisions in the final third. There was times.
Same in the Germany game.
Completely Gallardo when he shot. He could have slipped Lozano in.
And the same thing happened again about 5 minutes later. I think people get overawed by playing Brazil, don't they? They panic a little bit and they don't really believe that they're going to score. So they dither. And I think that's what happened on both occasions.
I mean, at least, I suppose, you know, sometimes I get annoyed if you have a chance to shoot, then take it. But when you're, say, 25, 30 yards out, and you can slip one of your players in or in a much better position, then I think you should go for the pass, you know.
It's always about decisions, isn't it? We talk about that a lot. At the top level, it's always about decisions. But is Casemiro unavailable for the Belgian game? That could be a big loss for them.
He certainly is, yeah. I should say that a nice little stat, Neymar's goal is Brazil's 227th goal at the World Cup, meaning they overtake Germany as the all-time top scorers.
Got that one back.
Is it fair to say it's always going to be a bit of a shootout between Brazil and Germany?
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, they just play loads more games.
Let's see how Harry Kane gets on, eh?
Yeah. Could get 225 in the next game.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Peter, you've got your arm up. Oh, you're calling for the ball.
I was just pointing out that I've got a couple of emails, if you want them in the future.
Damn right, let's have some.
All right.
Right now.
All right, well, yeah, but you had a point to make though, Marcus.
No. My points can wait.
I would prefer to hear the emails.
All right, okay. Fair do. Well, William Namakajo says, hey, assholes, it's funny to hear pod journalists talking about bad penalties. Only in England, you useless excuse for podcasts.
Sorry, well, good point.
Where's he from, does he say?
I googled him because he was rude. But I think
when
were
we talking
Sweden.
About bad penalties? Oh, Denmark, Croatia.
Yeah.
They were.
They
were terrible.
Hey, I mean, Ramblers.
What's his name, Pete, that last guy?
His name is William Namakajo. Oh,
that was a terrible contribution.
Well, I cut out the bit where he used an umlaut for the word for, And ended the email with "Eat dick." Hey, Ramblers!
He's all redeemed.
Just listen to Luke referring to Spain's style of play as "love without sex." I believe there's an Australian phrase which also seems appropriate. All fart and no whatever else. Yeah. Iron fellows.
That Callum, was Vicente Lizarazu that actually said that. I was really the medium.
Callum says, any airtime for the fact that the rough translation of Luka Modric to English is Luke Bruises.
Oh, nice.
Very much more showbiz than poor Argentinian right-back Gabriel Marquet.
So, yeah, I did enjoy it on
Mercado.
Lovely.
There we go.
Nice one.
So if you want to get just a show short, thefootballramble.com.
Do you now want to finish your point?
Yeah, do you want to finish your point?
I think Brazil will beat Belgium.
Okay, good.
today's fixtures.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sweden versus Switzerland.
And very much the warm-up.
Yeah.
Very much as far as we're concerned.
You think, but, you know, the way this World Cup's going, there's not a single game I'm not excited by. Because they've been so unpredictable.
Jim, a little bit of pickled herring and some cheese with holes in it, followed by some good roast beef.
Yeah.
We all want the roast beef, don't we?
Oh, we do indeed.
Marcus, you're in a very funny mood today because of the England game.
We were outside and I went to Marcus and went, "Marcus, I think we're going to have a lot of trouble with Colombia tonight."
And he went, "So do I."
"Yes, I thought it was just me." And he genuinely looked at the middle distance, like his tummy was rumbling or something.
I don't know. I sort of go between, I trust Southgate and all that kind of stuff. But I also think that James Rodriguez, if he plays, and Quintero could lead Jordan Henderson a merry dance.
Yeah, absolutely. Rodriguez being potentially available is massively, massively changes things. But Marcus, though,
yes,
look at that route.
Yes.
Look at that.
Look at that route to the final.
That route is that route.
Start daydreaming.
Is the fucking yellow brick road.
It's like getting a traffic and travel report and saying, "No problems reported."
Yeah.
It is.
It's you're like on the M1 going up Old England. Nothing to report.
You're driving your car and you think, "Oh, it's going to take me an hour." And your sat nav pops up. "I found you a faster route." Yeah.
Look down it, Marcus.
Well, I think that's how Southgate should...
There's a problem on the M1. It's a spillage of oil. You're going to get there even faster.
I think Southgate should say that to the players beforehand. He would say,
"It's not a route,
lads.
It's a boulevard.
Lads, if
slide.
If you are in doubt about this game, just think about the next round. That'll take you."
That's what Keegan would do.
Yeah.
And mark the fuck out of Quintero, please. Because his balls are dangerous.
I don't think Rodriguez... plays. If he does, he's not going to be fully fit. He's just not going to be fully fit. It's as simple as that. The BBC reporter on 5 Live was saying that the Colombians have been very, very helpful in giving him information about Rodriguez's status, which makes me worry.
Yes.
It's almost like, yeah, sure. He's really badly hurt, actually. And then, but regardless of that, at the risk of making a fool of myself yet again in this tournament, and of course my predictions have gone one way or the other, I think England are better than Colombia, genuinely.
Yeah.
And I think people are having their opinion tainted by the Belgium game. And when England play a full-strength side and know what they're doing and what their tactics are and everything they've planned comes to fruition, that they are better than Colombia from what I've seen. Well, I don't think... And the context I'll give for that is that Poland, I think, are actually a really poor side. If you look at how they've manipulated the FIFA rankings, I don't think they played a friendly for almost a year to get into the top rankings, to get, I think, seventh, to get seeded.
They're
not actually that good. Colombia struggled badly against Senegal, I think we can all agree. They beat Poland, who are a poor team, and they were beaten by Japan. Now, I know there are factors to that, but what I'm saying is, Colombia could get a man sent off early against England as well.
I think the decision to rotate in the last game, I hope that Gareth Southgate, whatever happens, whether we win or lose, I hope he gets judged through the prism of this result and this result only, not how he managed the game last one. I hope it's not weighing heavy on Mr. Southgate. I hope that he's...
He
doesn't strike me as being the sort of person who would, but I hope that they're judged by this match and this match alone and not what's gone before, would be a disappointment.
I do feel that England have to raise their game in this
massively,
match. This has to be the best performance they've had at the tournament, sort of significantly, because, you know, we almost don't know how good England are yet. Because,
I know, that's my kind of...
The question game. Marks over them and Belgium, and Belgium have answered those questions now because they've had the opportunity. England haven't yet, but I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park.
Of course not.
I mean, Bet365 say that England are big favourites. They're 1-2 to qualify for the next round. So £10 returns £15, including stake. they're big favourites compared to Colombia. Then you have to factor in things like we are obviously in England and people are passionate about it and all the rest of it. If they play to their potential, England will beat Colombia. But it depends how they execute.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think I it's the England back line that concerns me. And if he plays Henderson in front of the back four, back three, sorry, with Dele Alli and Lingard, I think, you know, if you're a wily operator like Jose Pekerman, you're thinking, well, we can get at that.
Yeah.
And they can. So I wonder if Southgate, he'll probably play the side that beat Tunisia. Does Southgate go, right, lads, let's let them have it and really go and try and blow them away like they have done before? I mean, you can only sustain that for certain periods of the game, of course. And so if England do that, will they actually get some joy against Colombia? Because if they don't, it's almost like you come out swinging, give a few of your best, and your opponent goes, yeah, all right, let me have a go now. And you go, oh, crap.
You've got...
then we've been crouchy on.
There's got to be perspective, though, because you've got players in that Colombian side who are very, very good, and we've seen that. But you've also got players in there who aren't playing at a good level. I mean, one of the guys who, I forget his name now, one of the guys who will start in holding midfield for Colombia plays in the Mexican League. Mm. Right? And you know, I don't watch the Mexican League, and nor does anyone here, I imagine. But I can't imagine it's at the similar level that Jordan Henderson played in the Champions League final.
Sure. I know.
So you
remember Roger Miller? He was semi-retired, and look what he did to England. They nearly did it.
But we went through. We went through against the team who beat Colombia in that tournament. Thank you very much. So you've given me more confidence now. The chips are falling into place.
What have I done?
Let's just enjoy it.
Let's enjoy it, guys. Calm down.
Like we've got
everybody.
A choice in that.
I mean, we're not going to. I don't think. Unless England do what they think it's Panama, it's going to be hard to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. But honestly, I think England got a good chance.
All right.
And if they do get through it, it'll give them a huge amount of confidence going into that game against Sweden or Switzerland. Mm. And I would say a confident England side who puts in a good performance tonight should have enough to get through that game as well, depending on what we see today. I mean, Switzerland, who are probably a bit underrated,
yeah, I think so,
on this show before. But, I mean, it's not really a sort of game that you beat.
Let's not look at the quarterfinal just yet.
And then the semi. So what are you going to
do? And this is it, though, isn't it? This is what we're here for. It's the day of England in a World Cup in a knockout game.
And a good game as well.
It's going to go. It's a good game. And I'm excited.
That's right, Jim.
I've seen people say it's a nightmare draw for England playing Colombia. I think it's the opposite. I think they're good enough to be taken seriously.
Yep.
They're not so good that they'll really have anything to worry us unduly. They deserve respect. They'll keep us focused. But it's not like we're going in against Brazil in the quarterfinal in 2002 where they've got three of the world's best players and we're worried about what we're going to do. Mm. It's enough to keep us focused. It should be enough to get us through the game because they're not as good as perhaps some other teams.
Well, maybe Belgium underestimated Japan and it nearly cost them dearly, you know. And if England actually had Japan and then, you know, potentially the winner of Switzerland v Sweden, so on, I think people have gone, oh, Japan, yeah, they haven't looked very much, blah, blah, blah. Whereas you're right, I think Colombia is a very good test because Colombia can beat England, but England also can beat Colombia. And if England can get through that, then the confidence, you say, Luke, will be massive.
I think England win it by a goal.
All right.
I think.
Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We could be crying into our beers.
Yeah.
But we shall see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. Of course, we're back tomorrow to talk about those Englands. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later.
That's goodbye from me in London. London, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.